This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It is the Power Hour, exclusively from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday on ACC Network. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on SiriusXM Channel 371. What's that, Wes?
I just got a note from a Fulton County tax commissioner who wanted me to thank you and Mrs. P. for your handsome commitment to the Fulton County, Atlanta, Georgia area this weekend. Your tax investment, hotel motel tax, and all sorts of things, very much appreciated.
We helped the economy. There is no question. If there was ever a need to
for
Fulton County to be stimulated from an economical standpoint, we took care of that this weekend. And again, I'm sure the folks at the St. Regis are still laughing at that dirty Ford F-150 they had to valet all weekend. But nevertheless, we spent some cash there. We took care of you good folks down there in the Atlanta metro area. Enjoyed your restaurants, your bars.
You did a nice job.
We frequented Fetch, which was a great, cool place, great concept. Take your dog. We took Piper to go to Fetch on Saturday morning with all the other hounds in Atlanta, which was great. We partook in the Virginia Highlands. Enjoyed that area. Murphy's was really good. Tavola restaurant, Italian.
Murphy's
restaurant.
A good spot. Nice
Murphy's,
choice.
Murphy's for brunch on a Saturday morning. We did Tavola, La Tavola in the Highlands for dinner Friday night, a little Italian. We did Bones for steak Saturday night. We did the St. Regis Bar. Amy knew the guy who got us in there. Slipped us right in there with all the movers and shakers of your fine city. We did Atlas Bar. That was a good spot, too. Mm-hmm. So we did. We enjoyed ourselves. Did a little shopping. So life was good down there in the ATL. I told you, we ran into a bunch of folks that watch Packer and Durham. You look like that guy on TV. Well, I am that guy on TV. You sound like that guy on the radio. I am that guy on the radio. So a bunch of folks down there all fired up. Jackets winning. Josh Pastor in a face shield. Get a W while we were there. So we had a big time in your town, man. We enjoyed it. It's a good spot. I tell you, who else is having a good time?
And so folks know.
What's that?
Just so folks know, we did not, we were socially distant. I was in Cartersville and you were in Atlanta. We were 40 miles socially distant.
No, we would have gotten up with you, but we were down there. We had a purpose for our trip, which we were busy with. But, I mean, we did partake. Normally, we would socialize with you, but we really did have a busy personal agenda and itinerary for the weekend. So it was all good. It's all good. Our daughter's down there rocking and rolling. And so we were doing some stuff down there.
Yeah. All right, you mentioned this. We're getting ready to say that Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat is reporting here in the last 10 minutes that Florida State basketball coach Leonard Hamilton has agreed to a 5-year contract extension. Here's the tweet from Kurt. FSU set to announce a 5-year extension for head basketball coach Leonard Hamilton today. It'll keep Hamilton, who's on the verge of leading FSU to a second straight ACC regular season championship, under contract through the 2025 season. So congratulations to Leonard Hamilton. Although if it's a 5-year extension, wouldn't that be 2026? But that's what the tweet says. So anyway, there you have it.
So how's that? That'll take Coach if he fulfills his obligations, and why wouldn't he? He'll be, 43 years old when he decides to sign another contract. 43 for Leonard Hamilton. Because he's 38 years old right now. At least he looks
right.
It.
Yeah.
Even though he might have gotten a little older Saturday after that second half. That wasn't exactly vintage Florida State hoops in the second half. But they got a good club. They got a chance to get to the Final Four. They're that good.
Yeah. Knowles back at it on Wednesday night here on ACC Network against Boston College in Tallahassee. Let's get to the best of the weekend, shall we?
Stuff.
Virginia Tech's men and Florida State's women win indoor track and field finals. That's the headliner here, Pac.
Yeah, like I said, we have a ton of championships that were won this weekend. And we didn't spend as much time on the indoor track as we did with wrestling, but nevertheless, incredibly talented men and women in this league took care of business. And again, congratulations to Virginia Tech and Florida State, bringing home hardware to their respective communities. So well deserved, and congratulations.
Go to swimming and diving. Louisville's men win the swimming and diving title. Big win for the Cards.
First, this is a since dirt, right? We always talk about how great NC State's been swimming and diving, but man, the Cardinals pull it off, and hey, there's no better celebration than this, right? Look at this. Everybody in the pool. Everybody in the deep end of the pool. Brooks is buying. Here we go. Congratulations. Yeah. Louisville takes care of business. Since dirt. First timer. Strong.
Yeah. There you go. We go to basketball. Carolina. Biggest comeback in about a decade. And for the first time since 1993, Florida State sees it happen to them at Smith Center. Back in the day, Pat Kennedy and the Noles had a huge lead, and then George Lynch and Eric Montross led the comeback. Now it's Walker Kessler, Kerwin Walton, R.J. Davis, and others that get the Tar Heels the win over the Seminoles.
Great pass. And also snapping a streak of 10 consecutive losses to ranked teams. And like I said, late first half, down 16, timeout. You're thinking, man, this you better hold on, North Carolina. This thing doesn't look good. Just a great, great second half performance. That was a big-time win for North Carolina.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you should probably just clear eight guys off the floor and let two guys go. And Saturday might have been one of those. Matthew Hurt and Carleek Jones were geared up and driving their respective schools in a game that was really good at the end. Overtime situation with Louisville and Duke, Mark.
Yeah, very competitive. You knew it would be. And, again, Louisville had a good feeling going into it, knowing the BPI picked Duke to win. And then they prove it in overtime by getting the W. I was also surprised here, Seth Greenberg. Think that Carleek Jones is the ACC Player of the Year. That's an interesting call by Seth Greenberg. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. Interesting because there are some other contenders for sure. And you talk about hot teams now. Packer said, be careful now, late, the Tigers. Well, guess what? Clemson went 5-0 in February.
Perfect. And they went 5-0 West because they played that defense that won them a ton of big games in December. You know, they're not going to blow you out by scoring 80 or 90. That's not their means of operation, but they will defend. And now that they got their legs back, even a pause again, they've had two pauses now, but that is a good, good defensive team. And we'll talk to Brad Brunell coming up here in about 25 minutes or so. Yeah. But the Tigers are on the list. They are five straight, and again, at Syracuse this week and Pittsburgh at home, a chance to be 7-0 coming down the stretch going to the ACC tournament. Just be careful.
Speaking of Coach Brownell, he's one of two coaches that crossed a milestone win for the native of Evansville, Indiana, Brad Brownell, 200th win at Clemson. First coach in program history to reach 200 wins, Pac.
Pretty strong. That's a since dirt right there. That's another since dirt. We got a bunch of since dirts this week. But we look forward to having Coach on. He's always a good
time. Amazing job there.
He's a good guy, too. I mean, he's an easy guy to root for, without question.
Yep. Roy Williams gets career win 900 with Saturday's victory over Florida State. Might have been disappointed on Wednesday with the Marquette outcome, but tell you what, Saturday, to get 900 and do it over a ranked Florida State team on your home floor, that's a pretty good feeling right there, I got to believe.
Well, listen, 900 is a ton. And to do it in over, 1,161 games just to get the nine shows how great he's been at Kansas and at North Carolina. Again, the dude's put up so many banners. He's won so many games. And again, if anytime he wants to come co-host with us on game day, got an open door invitation. He's undefeated, never lost, never lost a game on game day when he's co-hosted on the show ever.
That's it. There you go. Boston College snapped their losing streak. They beat Notre Dame Saturday at Chestnut Hill. It's their first win since January the 12th, and their first game with interim head coach Scott Spinelli.
Well, I was just happy for them, Wes. I mean, you know, it's like we had Coach Mack on last week, and BC's women's programs really had a tough year in terms of stoppage, wins, losses, and you just want to get a W to feel good. Good for the BC kids, man, right? Between the Martians and, hey, what happened to our coach? And we got COVID issues. We haven't won a game in almost a month and a half. And you hate it for Notre Dame, obviously, but you know, somebody's going to lose. But good for BC. I mean, it was just they put in the work, and they get the reward of the last game at home to get the W. Good for them. Good story.
Pack, we had some sweeps in ACC baseball this weekend, but maybe the most surprising might have been what Pittsburgh did in Tallahassee. Mike Bell, who was a longtime assistant for Mike Martin, comes back to Tallahassee and ends up sweeping the Seminoles.
This was on my list. Yeah, yesterday they went in extras and came back to do it. Kind of surprising. I know it's early in baseball. Thank God we're playing. But this is an interesting storyline with Pittsburgh. I mean, you keep thinking about Florida State, you know about their great tradition and history, and again, the change of the ownership in terms of the manager and the coach and all that stuff, but still Florida State, and they're always good. And for Pitt to win all three on the road, I thought this was a story of note over the weekend. And there were two sweeps of note in terms of conference play this weekend. This was one of them. We'll get about the other one. But I didn't think anybody expected Pitt to go down and win all three. Win a series, maybe. Probably win a game if you're lucky. But how about all three? I think Pitt made some noise this weekend to pay attention to the Panthers and what they're doing. That was a great weekend of baseball for them.
Yep. Women's basketball, Louisville won their fourth straight ACC regular season title. That's quite a statement for Jeff Walls and the Cards, Pack.
Back to back to back to back. And yet the NCAA selection committee thinks this team's a three seed. Please, you folks, whoever you are, need to open your eyes and watch some games. This is not a three seed. This is a team that was ranked number one in the country at one point in time and can win it all this year because Miss Dana right there taking care of business. If you think this team's a three seed, you have clue with what you're doing. And I will be that critical because this team can flat out play. I mean, come on. Three seed.
Yep. Please. You're right about that. All right. NC State, we told you earlier, won their third straight ACC wrestling title this past weekend. Did it at Reynolds Coliseum in Raleigh. First school since Carolina to win three straight in the late 90s. And Deontay Wilson, the heavyweight at 285. One of several individual champions in their particular weight class for the Wolfpack.
Well, we bragged about ACC wrestling as a whole, but right now NC State's got the hardware. And in fact, they're so hot, phones are just ringing off the hook for NC State wrestling tickets, just like that. But the Wolfpack rolling. And again, I can't wait to see all these individuals go on to the NCAA championships. But again, five teams ranked in the top 20 in ACC wrestling. That's really, really strong.
We told you there'd be fencing on this show, Pack. Here it is.
Since dirt.
Duke wins the women's fencing title.
Since dirt. They won. The men won it, and the women won it. All right? So Duke goes double dip in the fencing department. But we're going to give them a shout-out to the women since it's the first time ever since dirt. ACC championship comes to Durham. And we had a fence-off, Wes. Did you know there was such a thing, a fence-off? On the men's side, Notre Dame had COVID, so they couldn't make an appearance.
Mm.
So we had three teams. Everybody went one and one, so we had a fence off. Never heard of that before. We've had walk-offs in baseball, a fence off for the ACC championship. So the Duke men and women both win, but the women get the shout out because of that's it. I told you, right? Wanted to do that. I'd like to try that just to see what that's all about. Give me a sword. And a good attitude, some brown water, I'm dangerous.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, all those things.
In that
all right, the Josh Macri portion of this program today in the best of the weekend is Syracuse's 20-10 win over Virginia in lacrosse. Congratulations to John Desko.
That's a
Mr. big Dordovic got three goals. Once again, sparked by an appearance on this show. There you have it.
I mean, I really
Orange
thought
made it look easy.
After all we talked about last week, I just assumed that that was going to be, you know, 10-9, 12-11, whatever. But I did not expect a woodshed.
Yeah.
I did not. I didn't expect any doubling up with Syracuse and Virginia and lacrosse. Mm. Orange, man.
There you have it. Stay tuned.
Hey, I wonder if they'll be
the,
that hot in the
worst
dome
of the
tonight.
Weekend coming up.
You think they'll be that hot tonight in the dome? Syracuse?
Ooh.
I mean, BPI thinks they're going to win. BPI, 55.1%, likes the Orange to beat the Heels tonight in the dome.
I know. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, I know.
Point it
there
out.
You go. we will have coming up tonight from 8 to 10 and then Sunday, you're going to see the best of ACC Women's Swimming and Diving Championships. That's tonight from 8 to 10. Then next Sunday, the ACC Fencing Championship. That'll be at 6 o'clock. The Indoor Track and Field Championship follows at 8. All these championship recaps, starting tonight with women's swimming and diving, then fencing and indoor track and field next Sunday. We'll keep you posted throughout the week. This is good stuff, great student-athletes, tremendous competition. Proud to show it to you here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, we'll pivot from the best to the worst. And we got some here, too. The Swiss. Not a good effort. The Irish. And the Tigers had a little roster management going on over the weekend. We'll show you that, too, when we continue after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network. All right, we just gave you the good news, the positives, right? The best of the weekend. Now it's our duty to go the other way, the worst of the weekend. And unfortunately, there's a number of things for us to pick from, Wes, and it begins with Swiss cheese, because in Swiss cheese, there's a lot of holes. And right now, Wake Forest men's basketball, gave you the number.
They've lost
five in a row. The loss at Florida State was a great game. They lose in overtime. But since then, I gave you those numbers earlier. The last four games, losses by 24, 18, 21, and over the weekend by 38, which was a since dirt for Virginia Tech. Their biggest win ever in ACC play, 38. They beat the Deacs.
Yeah.
Not pretty.
Not good, Pack. And, you know, Steve Forbes' team, by the way, is in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. So, you know, double down on that, right? I mean,
well, it's not like
Pittsburgh, who played without Johnson and Tony yesterday for the first time.
Well, it's not like Pitt's rolling either. They've lost 8 of 9. Their only win was against Virginia Tech. So something's got to give, and you've got that game
with a very
talented Mark Wise tomorrow. But somebody's going to at least wake up Wednesday morning feeling better about themselves. But both of them desperately need a W.
Yeah. Other teams that are also having a struggle, Notre Dame's on that list, Mark. We thought the Irish might be turning the corner. Has not happened, has it?
February flame out and got magnified with a loss to Boston College. The Eagles had not won a game since January 12th, as we told you on the best of the weekend. The flip side is, what's happened to Notre Dame? But I will say this, though. Glimmer of hope. You've been waiting on Prentice Hub to explode. Well, he finally had that game. Unfortunately, you can't give up 94 and expect to win. You're not going to win games giving up 94.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yep. Right about that. Football note, Darion Kendrick has left Clemson, Pack.
Yes, sir.
Not on the roster for spring football this year is Darion Kendrick.
Incredibly talented dude, 5-star coming out a couple years ago. He can help somebody, but you know what? There are rules and regulations that Dabo wants you to live by, and he's not on the roster. He has not technically, to my knowledge, entered the transfer portal, but this is a guy that, again, if he decides to play some more football on the college level, he can help somebody, but you know, Dabo's got his rules and regulations, and if you don't follow them, hey, you know what? He makes no exceptions, and he's a really talented. He was the first team All-ACC player at cornerback, but for Clemson, it'd be next man up.
Yep.
You know what? If you don't understand it, believe me, that second and third team guy are pretty talented down there too. So that's how they roll down there in Tigertown.
So that's a tough one for the for Tigers and for Kendrick in particular. NC State baseball, Danny Hall, Elliott Avent matching wits over the weekend. Jackets took the bats on the road, Pack.
Yes, they did.
Georgia Tech gets the sweep.
Two talented teams. Again, two top 15 teams getting after. That's why I said earlier, Pitt sweeping Florida State on the road was the real shocker. These are two really good clubs. Mm-hmm. And Georgia Tech found a way to win every single one of them. And, boy, there's going to be some great matchups in this league when we get this. I mean, seriously. When you had, I think we were eight teams last week were ranked in the top 25. There's some talent, man. Baseball is going to be outstanding this spring.
Yeah. The new D1 baseball rankings are out, by the way. Louisville 5, Miami 9, Georgia Tech 12, Virginia 16. Boston College 22, Virginia Tech 24, North Carolina 25 in the brand new D1 baseball rankings this morning. So there you go. Virginia Tech had their women's hoop streak snapped by Carolina yesterday. Kenny Brooks's team had made a strong push for postseason, came to a grind yesterday in a 5-point loss at home.
Still think they're a dangerous team. I think both these teams actually could be potentially sneaky good in the ACC tournament starting this week. But at some point in time, you figure it's going to come to an end. I didn't know if they would be yesterday. I mean, this was a great win for Courtney's girls. And by the way, I still like those North Carolina unis, Wes. I like the UNC unis. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I got you. I'm with you. Clemson loses back-to-back games to South Carolina. I know you mentioned this on Friday. They play a three-game series. They play a different game in different locations every day. And the Tigers lost back-to-back games in walk-off?
Walk-offs yesterday in extras in Columbia, South Carolina. The game on Friday, we were down to see Emerson on Friday on our way down to Atlanta. So we stopped in Tigertown on Friday. It had rain, so that game got postponed and will be rescheduled and replayed later in the season. The next game Saturday was in Greenville, South Carolina, on their beautiful ballpark right in downtown. And then yesterday is in Columbia. So they try to do one in Clemson, one in Columbia, one in Greenville. But the Gamecocks on back-to-back walk-offs. Same guy. Knocked the Tigers off. That's the those. And then listen, like I told you, when those two get together, I don't care what the sport is. It's personal. So that one will that one will hurt. That will be an ouch in the upstate. No question.
Yeah. Pittsburgh has lost 12 straight to NC State in basketball. That one kind of makes you shake your head a little bit, too.
Yeah, just stop. Just say, you got them on the schedule. You know what? Let's just go on down the road. Forget it. NC State playing good basketball. We talked about it. They won four straight, but for the Panthers, you get them tomorrow. Goodness gracious, Wes. I it's hard for me to figure them out, right? I mean, you got the two opt-outs last week, which was – not good news. Justin Ciampini is terrific. Now second in scoring, leading rebounder in the league. He's a big-time player. But, man, 8 of 9 they've lost overall, but 12 straight to the Wolfpack. NC State just owns them. Owns them.
That's it. Quick check of women's basketball where the NCAA selection committee again released a list of 16 teams projected for the women's tournament. Louisville and NC State both off the top line. What are we doing here?
I've harped on it a couple times already today. It's a joke that one of them's not on the top line. It's a bigger joke that Louisville's on the three line. The three line. So, hey, you know, we're going to eventually play this thing and see where this goes, but NC State and Louisville are capable of winning the national championship. That's how good they are. And, hey, who knows? Maybe we'll get that game for a ACC championship this week because Louisville's the one seed, NC State the two seed. Even though Georgia Tech and Florida State, Virginia Tech and others will have something to say about it. But maybe when we get together a week from today, we're showing highlights of a Louisville NC State part two. We'll see. Be a good tournament in Greensboro.
All right. Florida State outscored by 20 in the second half at Chapel Hill on Saturday. Tar Heels rallied to get the victory, 78-70, but the second half scoring was 49-29. We have not seen the Noles in that type of situation this entire year, Pack.
The fact that North Carolina put 49 on these guys in the second half, I will just go back and mention – that's the same team that only scored 48 in an entire game against Virginia, and a team that only scored 50
at Clemson.
Put 49 and a half against arguably the best team in the league when they had to have it. I said, I thought it was North Carolina's best 20 minutes of the year. They were tremendous. But for Florida State, back to the drawing board. Yep. The good news is they got Boston College next, at a place where they've only won 24 consecutive at home against ACC teams. BPI, if it's not over 95% in that game, I am really going to call them out. Just saying.
Well, speaking of your friends at BPI, once again, they correctly predicted Florida State to beat Carolina and Duke to beat Louisville.
0% right, BPI in the big games. Zero. B-pill. That's what I'm going to call it now. B-pill. BPI lost.
Oh, boy. B-pill. Oh, my God.
They stink. You know, we had fire alarms going off up in Bristol, Connecticut in the first 20 minutes of the show today because of the Josh and Drew and Chrissy and Hank and everybody. We're talking about the fire alarms. We do not know if that was the BPI building that caught fire. We do not know. Don't know the answer to that. I doubt it was because they haven't been hot in about, I don't know, 2 years since we've been doing this show.
Oh,
it hadn't been hot,
God.
So I doubt it was the BPI building on fire. I'm sure it wasn't hot. They don't ever get anything.
All right. Okay, very good. I can hardly wait for the company picnic. All right, take a break. When we come back, we're going to Tiger Town. Clemson, as Packer quickly and confidently predicted, the Tigers have won five straight. Brad Brownell, winner of 200 games as their head coach, joins us next on this program. Stay tuned.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Monday, and we are getting ready to talk to the hottest coach in the conference. No, it's not Leonard and his new five-year deal. It's not the guy that just won his 900th over the weekend. No, no, no. It's the dude that won his 200th at Clemson. The Tigers have won five in a row, as predicted on this show weeks ago. Let's bring him on. Brad Brownell joins us. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm only about 700 behind all the Hall of Fame coaches in our league. So, I am happy to. I'm happy for 200. I'm not going to lie to you. Winning 200 playing in this conference is challenging.
You're right about that. But you know what? You're also playing, though, good basketball. And your team, after two COVID pauses, you've lived and died literally on basketball in terms of defense and getting after people, right? And, man, the month of February, defensively, your team got back to doing exactly what we saw in December. And that is, hey, we can shut some people down. And when you start making threes like you did on Saturday, you could be a tough out.
Yeah, I hope so. We should get back to working hard. We took January off. We went on like a COVID vacation for a month and came back and played like we were playing in the rec league. But we got resurrected. I'm really proud of our players. You know, this is a hard year for everybody, and dealing with and handling COVID is challenging. Obviously, I did not do a very good job in the first COVID situation for us. We've done much better since the second time, and our kids have really responded. You know, we have won five in a row, and I don't know if it's six out of seven or something of that nature. But more than anything, we're just back to playing the way that we played in November and December, and kids are sharing the ball, playing together. It's been a fun group.
Coach, let's talk about this time of year, because typically this is the type of year, you know, where you get to late in the regular season, you're looking to the conference tournament, potentially postseason, and you're thinking about, okay, we don't want to tax our guys. It's been a longer year, you know, that kind of thing. How does that change now? Because you mentioned the pauses. Is it different in the way you're going to practice? Have you thought about it making it different in terms of the way you get ready for games this time of year, given kind of the stop and start of this deal?
You know, it's funny. It hasn't been a lot different. Still coach very similarly. I do think you worry just a little bit about mental fatigue as much as anything. Having said that, it's funny. You know, we beat Wake Forest last week on the road. It was our first game back from the second pause. And in preparation for that game, we had about 4 or 5 days of extremely challenging and difficult practices. And I could tell on Thursday that our guys were tired. We had the game against Miami on Saturday. And so we did some mental preparation and some walkthrough stuff. And then finally, we played dodgeball on Thursday afternoon instead of practicing for an hour. And so I thought it was really good. I thought it helped our guys just keep us in a good frame of mind, a good place. Had a great practice on Friday and then followed it up with the win on Miami. So it's not like a lot of things have changed, but I think you are, as a coach, trying to keep your guys fresh, keep them excited. It's been a long year. It's hard for these kids away from basketball. There's not a lot that they're doing socially away. And so, you know, when you're together, you're trying to make them have as much fun as you can while you're working.
All right. Now, you just said something that piqued my interest. Dodgeball. All right. So, Coach, if we had a Clemson dodgeball draft, the top two picks would be whom on this roster? Dodgeball.
Well, it,
yeah.
The championship game came down to the two little guys, as you would expect. Nick Honor and Alamir Dawes were facing off against each other, representing their teams. I think Nick got the best of them and won it. So those two guys, you know, pretty quick, small targets. Those guys both throw the ball a little better than you would think. So we had a lot of fun with it. But those two guys were the last two standing.
By the way, did Honor call bank when he won the championship like he did against Georgia Tech? I'm just curious.
Hey, we don't care how it happens. We just want to win.
That's it.
We're not too proud over here.
That's it. It's all about scoreboard, man. Nobody wants to hear the play-by-play. Right?
You know what's funny, though? Here's an interesting tidbit from that. And I know you're a big BPI statistics man.
Oh, yeah. Big.
But Synergy did, I guess, a shot quality on his last second shot. And the guy who does it for us came in, our video guy came in and told me, Coach, you'd be shocked. They predicted him to have a 42% chance to make that last second shot.
But, Coach, what does that mean? I mean, to me, it's always 50%.
I think it means 42 times out of 100 they think he's going to make it.
No, I get that. But, you know, you get
one of those times happen to be during the game.
You get one chance. You don't get 100. This is not me and you trying to make a 4-foot putt. Hey, do I get a mulligan? No, we don't get mulligans. You get one shot. So all that percentage nonsense is garbage. You either make it or you don't make it. It's 50-50. In, out. That's how it works. There's a
Well, what's really challenging about that breakdown. Pack is like that's how coaches are judged. When that shot goes in, you look like a genius, and if it doesn't, you look like a bad coach.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's a 100% chance that Leonard Hamilton's going to sign a 5-year deal, right? It's not like a 82% chance. No, it's 100%. And same thing with you. Now that you got 200, I mean, as soon as you get done with us, it's going to be walking down the hallway to Dan Radakovich and going, hey, big man, let's talk about things around here, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him that our famous alumni are pushing for that. That's good. Man,
yeah,
this has really been a good.
Listen, the last time you were on this show, I've been bombarded by IPTE like you can't believe. I'm almost afraid to open my mouth anymore. I mean, I'm just glad to get two girls out of school from out of state tuition, and you got the IPTE folks all over me, man. Thanks, Coach.
We love our alumni. What can we tell you?
Classic.
Hey, Brad, just tell him he's Tiger for life, right?
Absolutely. No daughters question. As well, man. I've got two. I got one grad and one in school right now as well.
There you go. Yeah, but
we're all in, right?
Hey, you know, you're all in when you're living in state. When you're living out of state, it's a real commitment. That's when you find out if you're all in is when you're out of state. When you're out of state, you got to really be all in. You got to work for the rest of your life. That's what I'm talking about.
What else would you be doing? You don't play golf anymore. What else would you be doing?
That's a
good point.
You'd
just be sitting around drinking brown liquor. You're not supposed to do that anyway.
Well, I don't know. It kind of takes the edge off of it a little bit. Takes the pressure away a little bit, Coach. I got to be honest with you. Plus, you guys play such close games. That Wake Forest game was an anomaly. I mean, hey, I'm not used to seeing you out 25 on somebody. Normally, I watch a Clemson game. It's like, hey, it's 54-53 with 8 minutes to go. I have no earthly idea who's going to win these games.
Hey, I've been known to have a glass of brown liquor every once in a while because of this job as well. I'm not going to lie to you.
There you go.
I got to come clean.
All right. Now we got it back on track. All right. Now let me ask you this before Wes chimes in with a real question.
All right.
One quickie. How important is the double bye? Hey, I told Wes, I think it's going to be the most interesting storyline of the week in the league. And, of course, Florida State and Virginia are sitting in a pretty good spot. You're in a great spot, Virginia Tech. You know, North Carolina thinks they could do something. Georgia Tech. I mean, it is going to be a fascinating run this week to get to the double bye, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you're trying to just win as many games as you can and let it rip. I mean, you don't really think about it a lot until you get towards the end. And obviously, we have a chance to win two more here and finish 11-5 in the league, which would be great. And hopefully that is good enough to get the double bye. If you're having a – you want to have a chance to make a serious run in the tournament, the double bye probably is important. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it certainly gives you an extra day and, you know, a chance to kind of get your legs back under you and get running. We're excited about it. We're glad we got an opportunity. The last plug I'm going to make is I want to make sure that my guy Amir Sims isn't forgotten about here when we start talking about all these all-conference teams. You know, he's having another great year. He was all conference last year. And, you know, we're hopefully going to make the double bye. If we could finish in the double bye, that guy needs to have full consideration for first team all league. He may not score quite as many points, but we don't play
it's
as
interesting
fast.
You bring. See, there we go. That's what I was talking about because he's fourth in the conference in field goal percentage. He is clearly one of the big keys to what you're doing defensively, but your style of play doesn't lend to big offensive numbers yet. His points per possession, his efficiency numbers are as good as anybody in the league, Brad.
And he's an extremely good defensive center. The guy can play pick and roll coverages 3, 4, 5 different ways if you need to. Like he's not going to block as many shots as everybody. He's not going to do all those things, but the adjustments that we make because we have him on the floor, winning matters for that guy. That guy's been here for the last 2 years as our best player. And he's really impacted winning. Mm. And I think that needs to account for a lot.
I'm surprised you weren't able to get another game with Syracuse scheduled for the Orange on Tuesday. They could have played Monday, Tuesday, then you can play him on Wednesday. The rescheduling, you knew it was going to be goofy and crazy. A road trip to Syracuse, this was a game that we thought we could play early. We lost it. Now you get it again. But I suspect with the way the team's playing with winning 5 in a row, you'd much rather play than have the week off.
Yeah, right now when you're playing well, that's when you want to keep playing. There's no doubt about it. For rhythm and timing and hopefully confidence and you know, opportunity. Syracuse has a really good team, talented. It'll be obviously up there. They're completely different or even better, I should say. It'll be a really hard game for us. We're going to have to play well. We played extremely well in the game that we beat them at home. Shot it really well. Outstanding defense. Maybe our best first half of the year, one of our best halves of the year in the first half of the game against Syracuse at home.
It's going to be an interesting finish. If there's one characteristic about your team going down the stretch that's the most critical, what is it?
Well, it's still scoring. Obviously we made 11 threes on Saturday, and that really helped. I thought our ball movement was really good. We've had some trouble. We've been played inconsistently at times on offense. Some games we've had a couple few too many turnovers, and some other games we haven't shot it as well. We just don't have quite as many explosive players that can just kind of go get their own shots and kind of bail you out at the end of a shot clock. And so, you know, from that standpoint, it's a little more challenging. We have to play much better as a team. We really have to move the ball and work together. But when we do it, we're still pretty efficient and we can play good basketball. And so I would say that for sure.
Hey, I've got good news for you to end this interview. Really good news. Do you want it or do you want me to
imagine
just
what this is going to be?
No, it's really good news. BPI thinks that Syracuse has got a 60% chance to beat you on Wednesday. That is phenomenal news for you. It's great news.
All right, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I'm just excited if you're still going to make that call to D-Rad and everybody and support me like I need you to.
That has never been an issue. Never been an issue. Okay. And I'm sure that at 10:05 this morning, and when I get done and walk up the steps, there'll be a note for me from IPTE to go, hey, we just watched you again. So we're going to go ahead and send you some more information. Brownell said you'd be the perfect guy to talk to. So I have no doubt.
You spent a bunch of money down in Atlanta this weekend. Whew. You know, like you must have a bunch staying at that fancy St. Regis.
That's where the Tigers stay, right? St. Regis, when you guys go down there to play Pastner, that's where you guys stay.
No, we go down on a day trip, come back. We don't even go the night before.
Well, let me give you a bit of advice. This St. Regis is really nice. Let me tell you something.
No.
They had no problem parking my Ford F-150 beside all those Maseratis and Bentleys and everything else down there. So you bring in that young bus, they'll find a spot for you down there at the St. Regis. Coach, I'm telling you.
That sounds like a place I need to take Miss Paula.
I believe that is in your price range. I believe you could handle
exactly
that.
That's exactly where you need to take. Hey.
You could do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to wait till this COVID's over, though. Got to be careful.
Hey, let me tell you something. Those folks, that might be the cleanest building this side of Mickey Mouse in the Wild Kingdom. What do they call that place down there in Orlando? Disney World. Disney World is the cleanest
Magic
place
Kingdom,
in the world.
Disney
Magic
World,
Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the cleanest place in the world. The St. Regis in Atlanta is second cleanest place.
It's always good when Pac remembers that, you know, our company is owned by the people that own the thing in Orlando that he couldn't remember the name of. Well, I thought that was really critical to his presentation.
I got to be honest with you. I took the girls there when they were about 4 years old, and I thought I'd be broke for the rest of my life.
Oh, I know.
I didn't have any of these free ESPN passes. They give me these passes now. I don't need them. I mean, I needed them.
Right. You're making life memories.
Yeah, that's it.
I needed them 20 years ago when I couldn't afford to take the girls to Disneyland. Now we got free passes. Now what are we going to do with that?
Let me just say this.
By the way, you're going to be going
back. Can I finish this interview on this?
Before too long. So write that off.
Yeah, but I won't be employed. I won't be employed. See, after the end of this show, Disney will be like, "Get this idiot off the television."
That's how it works.
Yeah, there we go. All right, two things that we've gleaned from this interview. Number one, Brad Brownell, excellent coach, 200 wins, very good basketball team, in serious contention for the double bye with key game at Syracuse on Wednesday and a Saturday game against Pittsburgh to close the regular season. Second thing we've gleaned from this interview, if we need co-host in the offseason, Brad Brownell has become the guy that can clearly punch all the Packer buttons that get him fired up, and therefore he has just moved up the list significantly. Moved up the list because he's punched Packers' financials button. He's punched the vacation button. He's called out the fact that Packers stayed above his kicking coverage at the St. Regis this weekend, among other things. Well done, Coach. You won again today, and you didn't even have to play. How's that?
And I tell you what.
Hey, we'd have a great time. We'd have a great time hosting that show together.
I think the SO Club could make room for us down there, don't you think? That could probably work, right?
We can get that done. You just let me know.
Yes, sir. That's a phone call. When you know people, it's a phone call. That's all I know.
Thank you, Coach Brownell. We will keep you updated on Mark's contribution level to the IPTE Club in his quest to continue to support Clemson University long after his kids are gone. Thank you very much.
He's a proud alum. We're proud of him.
That's it.
There
Brad
you go.
Brownell.
That's the cherry on the icing on
that's
the cake
it.
Right there. By the way, can I point out something real quick?
Cow. My
can I point
goodness.
Out something
All right,
very
Brad
quickly?
Brownell.
that
sure pack.
I got this competition. Yeah. Yes. Speaking of cash, you know, we got the Conti Women's Charity in Winston-Salem. I went 1-for-6 on the lottery this weekend. Yeah. 1-for-6. I got number 62 right, which is a birthday. MJ Walker is now 51 of 60. He's at 85% from the free throw line. MJ Walker, going the last week.
Yeah.
Going 1-for-6 at my lottery, I'm now 15 of a buck 68. My inaccuracy rate is 89%. MJ Walker's accuracy rate is 85%. So I now have a commanding lead coming down the stretch with 1 week to go.
Yeah, great.
1 week to go.
Thank you. Thanks, Brad.
He's a big
be well.
Part
good
of
luck this himself. Week. Thank you as always. Appreciate your time.
You're right. We'll talk to you.
You bet. Brad Brownell. All right, sit tight. Final segment of a wild Monday ride is next. We'll come back and get you set for tonight. Two games on the list, including the Orange hosting the Heels at the Dome and the Canes visit Virginia. Back after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment on a very, very busy Monday. Championships all over the joint. And tomorrow, Wes, we make major announcements at 9 a.m.
Yep. 9 o'clock, the ACC Women's Basketball Awards. We'll have them for you right here on this program, along with Boston College's Jay Heath, who had a big factor, was a big factor in their win over Notre Dame. BC, of course, continues play this week as well. We'll talk to him there at Florida State, and we will touch base with Jay. Look forward to that. And the Women's Basketball Awards. We will unload all of it for you tomorrow. That at 9 o'clock, the Women's Basketball Awards. Here on Packer and Durham. Couple of games tonight. We get the Miami-Virginia game. The voices you can trust on that, Dallin Cuff and Jordan Cornette will have it for you. And then at 7 o'clock over on ESPN, Sean McDonough and Corey Alexander from the Carrier Dome for Syracuse and Carolina tonight. Mark?
Like Virginia big. And the second one, hey, we got – as Syracuse is impossible to figure, right? They could be great. They could lay an egg. I don't know what to tell you. North Carolina has to come off the emotion of Saturday's game, which was a huge game, and they played so well in the second half. So the Heels go up there with a you know, kind of a sigh of relief, but still got to get to work, and Syracuse must win.
All right. Thanks to Drew, Josh, Chrissy, Meg, everybody for keeping us on and rolling. See you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.